Good evening. Welcome to Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio. I'm Gil, your host tonight. Glad you could join us. Welcome all our old Soul Seekers listeners and to all the new listeners from Para X Radio. We're glad to be here. We've got a great show for you tonight. I want to mention a few things before we get started. I want to mention the project that my wife Sarah Jane and Louise from TransPennine are working on, and that's the Paranormal Angels Calendar. They're organizing a fundraising calendar for the charity Women's Aid, which benefits abused women and children here in the UK. We've been lucky enough to find a professional photographer to donate his services. His name's Glenn Harrison. He's from up north, and his website is www.k-reations.com, and we thank Glenn for donating his services for that. We think we've got a location lined up also that's been donated for them to shoot the calendar. The next thing we need to do is find a printer that'll print these calendars, or maybe a sponsor that will help pay for the cost of these calendars so we can raise money for this good cause. So if you know of anybody or can help out in any way, you can email us at soulseekers@ntlworld.com. And just to remind everybody, Sarah Jane's in the chat room, and guests can log into www.para-x.com. Join the live chat link at the top of the page, and you can ask questions to our guests tonight, talk about paranormal discussions, anything related to the show. And tonight's guest is Anne Germain. Anne is a spiritual medium, a spiritual healer, Reiki master, and ordained spiritual minister here in the UK. And she is a medium to the mediums. And Anne works with spirit using all the spiritual senses, being able to see, hear, and feel. And this allows her to relate messages to loved ones on earth in the fullest form with compassion and understanding. Anne brings closure and healing that people are waiting for, and confirmation that they are no longer in pain and that they have moved forward. And this is something that's comforting and uplifting to those left on earth that are still grieving. Hello, Anne, you with us?
I am, hello.
How are you tonight?
I'm very well, thank you. Very excited at being invited onto your show.
Well, we're glad you could be here with us. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
I heard it's snowing down your way already.
It's been trying. It's a little bit, I've had a quick look out the window. It's a bit sleety and a bit damp at the moment, but the wind's starting to blow the worst of it off, I think.
Is it? This weekend's supposed to be really chilly, they said.
I think we'll be out in the winter woolies now.
Well, let's get right into it. My first question for you, Anne, is when did you realize that you had a gift?
I think my mum and dad tell me that I gave my first set of messages when I was about 2.5 from family members that had passed during the war that I'd never met.
Oh, really?
So,
did something happen in your life that sort of set it off?
No, I was just playing in a room where I was growing up at the top of an old Victorian house, and an uncle that I'd never met came in and asked me to tell my mum that my granddad was poorly.
Really?
And we lived in the south and my granddad lived up in the north.
Did your parents accept the fact then, or?
It's only just recently my dad's accepted it. That's after the number of years.
Really?
It's taken me about 45 years to get used to the idea. And my mum just didn't take much notice of it and just said, fine dear, okay, and let me carry on.
Mm. Really? So your mum's always been a believer?
My mum's a lovely healer. She always had a knowledge of spirit and went and had some readings when she was living in London at Belgrave Square, the main centre of spiritual development in the centre of London. And they told her she would work for spirit, so she's decided she had a strange job. It was having me. That's her work for spirit.
Did she have psychic abilities, or was she just
a healer? She's more of a healer, I think, Gil, than anything. She's a very gentle lady. People go to her from all over. Hmm. If they've got a problem, they'll always go to my mum.
Now, what do you mean a healer? How would she perform her healing?
Her healing would be more by listening, I think. sort of tending that if someone's got a problem, they'll go round and they'll talk, and she won't judge them, she'll just let them talk. And I think a lot of people are healers without realizing it, and they do the healing by listening.
So it's not like a hands-on healing like Reiki is.
No, it's still healing, but a very different type of healing.
Is that what you call spiritual healing then?
Spiritual healing can be hands-on as well. I think it's every day. It's what people do without realizing it. Most people would call it compassion. I suppose that would be a good way.
Oh, really?
If you've got compassion and you're there for your friends, family or strangers, it's a form of healing. You're allowing that person to heal.
Oh. I've never thought of it that way.
I have strange ways of thinking of things.
So, how long have you been doing the mediumship?
I've been working on platform and doing private readings now for about 26, 27 years.
Oh, really? How did you develop from, when you knew you had a gift through your life and then become a medium?
I did the usual teenager bit of, I don't want to know about this. Tried to shut it off, did all the usual bits that teenagers do, drove my mum and dad to distraction. Then my grandma died, who I was very close to. A friend of mine went to see a medium for a reading of her own, and then the only person that came through was my gran. So the medium asked me to go and have a chat. I did, and I was invited into a development circle, which is where it was a closed circle. Only people could be invited if a medium had identified that you had an ability or a gift that needed to be either controlled or brought forward. And I sat in her circle for a while and was on platform working within 6 to 8 weeks, something like that, I think.
How could a medium tell that, you have that gift? How did they know?
Their guides and communicators would have told them that. It would be like my sitting with somebody that came to me for a reading and their loved ones saying to me, they've gotten the ability, they've got a gift that they're either using or not using, or having trouble with, need to control. Then I would possibly suggest to them that they go and find out how to either learn to control it, turn it off, or develop it and use it.
That's a question we've had quite a bit. How do you control it? How do you, just switch off like that?
It's like tuning out a radio. You slowly learn to introduce like a white noise which would dull it. So it's there in the background, but it becomes more out of tune and you can ignore it and get on with your everyday life. I just tell them to go forth and leave me alone.
And do they listen?
Most of the time, yes. They do tend to pop up every now and again if they think something's important. But they know when to leave you alone. They don't interfere. They don't intrude, providing you give them your ground rules. You have a life on the earth to live. If you give them the ground rules, they'll leave you alone.
Do you have some that don't respect that?
Not very often. You'll tend to find if they're not respecting it, it's a spirit that needs to be moved on, that hasn't realized that they've actually passed and left their physical body, and they can take a bit of challenging to get them to realize they're dead for a start.
Oh, I can imagine. How do you go about doing that?
Well, you sort of talk to them for a while. I did a house clearing yesterday in a house where somebody had passed 5 years before and they were still in residence, and just went and chatted to the gentleman, identified how he passed, spoke to him about the fact that he didn't like this family that had moved in. He wanted them moved out, wanted to know where all of his stuff was. And while I was talking to him, we were waiting for his wife who'd passed to come forward close enough for me to get her to come and take him away and move him towards the light.
Right.
Which he did.
Was he disrupting the... He did.
He did move on, but yes, he was very disruptive. The house had lots of crystal, and he was knocking them all off of the shelves because he didn't like the crystals.
Really?
Was
it the same family that had lived there for that whole five years?
Yes, it was the same family, and they'd put up with it for most of the time, but it was just getting a little too disruptive with the family, the younger members of the family, were getting a little fed up with it, so it was easier to move them on.
Huh. And then they contacted you then?
They found me.
And do you do a lot of house clearings like
I've
that?
I've done an awful lot since we've had some of the alternative television programs on recently with the introduction of Ouija boards and spirit boards without control. So people play, not knowing what they're doing, and disturb.
Is that true that you can call in nasty spirits using Ouija boards the wrong way?
It's not so much that you call them in, you open yourself up to negative energy. Spirit, just because they've gone into spirit, if they're nasty on the earth, they're not going to change just because they've gone to spirit. They'll still be obnoxious, jumped up whatevers in spirit, and they'll come back and be disruptive if they choose to be. So sometimes they just need a little bit of a kick up the rear end and move back to where they belong. I'm sorry, I tend to forget that people won't necessarily accept the way I speak to spirit. I'm not disrespectful to them, but I won't put up with their nonsense.
Oh, that's good. Do you have any that just refuse to go?
I've never had one that's refused to go so far, no. It's the power of the earth. If you instruct a spirit to go or to leave you or to not bother you, they have got to go. They cannot stay. It's not up for negotiation.
Really?
I suppose you'd call it a law of spirit. If they're interrupting our earthbound life, it's our life, not theirs. They've done theirs. They have got to move on. But
once they move on, can they come back?
They can come back, yes. You don't tend to find that they're not banished back into spirit. They're just relocated back where they belong. And once they're more settled in spirit, they can then have the freedom to come and go as they choose. But as they come and go, they're learning, and that negativity will slowly wear off.
I see. Well, what's the difference between a psychic and a medium then?
Right. A psychic tends to work on the more material level with things. They tend to pick up vibrations from an individual or an object. A medium, working on a mediumistic level, tends to be more evidential. We will get a specific communicator. I would be able to describe what they looked like, what their habits were, what their favourite colours were, what they passed with, how many members they had in the family, and pass on pertinent information to the person in front of me that's there, either on the telephone or sitting with me if it was a private reading, or from the platform if I'm on stage.
I see. So they communicate, the spirit communicates with you or your spirit,
yes.
Is that correct?
It's like a telephone call. It's like working on Skype. It's like working with a mobile.
Psychic Skype. So what role does your guides play then?
My guides keep me protected and also teach me lessons and learning. I've still got a lot to learn on this earth plane yet. So if I'm giving demonstrations or talks, I've still got too much to learn to be able to stand up and give lessons, so I let my guides do that. So sort of let them.
So the spirits communicate directly with you and not your guides, and your guides relay it to you?
It depends how I'm working. If I'm working on a teaching capacity, then it tends to be my guides that I'm working with, because they have the knowledge that I need. If I'm working with a one-to-one private reading, then it's the communicator, the actual person that's in spirit, that I will be dealing with.
Right.
Although my guides are hovering around, keeping an eye on me, making sure I'm working properly.
Does everybody have a spirit guide?
We all have spirit guides. Some of us are aware of them, some of us aren't. Some people call them guardian angels. My first guide I came across that I really got to know, I must have been about 13 years old, and he was I suppose you'd call him Hell's Angel, on a motorbike, and he used to follow me around. So if I was walking from babysitting jobs or something like that, he would always be behind me. and he'd follow me until I got home.
Did it scare you?
No, I just used to tell him off because he was, I suppose he was making the atmosphere cold, and I spent all my time being frozen cold.
Do you think that they're assigned to us?
I think we elect to work with them. So it's not so much that they're assigned. I would say it's more that before we come down, we've chosen to work with each other. They've chosen to work with us and guide us through life, and we've chosen to work with them because they've got lessons that we still need to learn, and they can manoeuvre, that's probably not the right word, they can guide us through particular trials and tribulations that we get on the earth.
And are they with us our whole life while we're here?
Yeah, they're always around. I've got various guides that I work with at different times. I've got a Native American Indian guide. I've got a German doctor guide that I work with. I've got a Japanese guide. I have a little chimney sweep that he's adorable. But I work with him in trance.
Really?
Yeah, his name is Jimmy. He's as mad as a hatter, so it matches me.
And how do you discover who... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say that the reason I found out about him was I was teaching and he came through. And then everybody else told me about him. Because...
Everybody else as in
other mediums? As in the mediums that were sitting with me. Because when I work in trance, I have no memory of what I do. I have no memory of who came through and what came through.
Now, working in trance, can you explain a little more about that to people that doesn't know what that means?
That's where I allow a spirit to use my physical body as well as my voice box and communicate directly through. So it's like I take 10 minutes off, go and have a snooze somewhere in spirit, and their mannerisms will come through. They will transfigure my face. My voice changes. It could be a male voice, an accent. I can get... I physically, more or less, look like you physically grow in size. Wisdom can come through, or you'll get the real personality. With Jimmy, he tends to tease the cats that I have here, or he'll tell jokes and tell you what it was like when he was on the earth climbing chimneys.
Really? So that's pretty much channeling.
It is. It would be the same. A trance is channeling. You're channeling. We just have different words.
I see. Have you ever had any bad experiences when you were channeling? I know if you watch some of the television shows, and I won't name any names, but people that get possessed or taken over.
That's bad mediumship.
Does that happen to you?
No. I've never had that. Spirit will buzz me, and it is literally like a radio going off in my head, and they'll buzz me. And I will feel that they're drawing really close, and I can feel them wanting to use myself as a channel. I'll either say yes, or they get told to go forth. And I am that strong with them. You know, it's my body.
Right.
They can use it on my terms, not theirs.
Do they do it to get a message across to somebody?
Oh, yes. I've had it where my guide wanted to get a message to somebody that was about to do something really stupid. So he asked if he could come through. I said yes, he came through, gave them a telling off in no uncertain terms. And then he went off again, and I came back. So...
Interesting.
Yeah, you know, they can come forward, but this person was going to do something very stupid. It would be detrimental to their physical safety, and you know, spirit will warn you if you choose to ignore it and you get help.
So they know our futures, you think?
I think it's not so much that they know our futures; they know that we have a set of choices, and they're prepared for us to take one of the choices. But because we have free will here, we're always then going to end up at the same goal. We just might choose to pick a difficult route, an easy route, or walk backwards.
I see. I gotcha. Now, what about sensitives? What's the difference
sensitive
between a medium or...
I would say that a sensitive is a medium that hasn't yet pulled all the threads of the silk together.
I see.
It would be like...
So that's sort of a level between a psychic and a medium?
Yes. Yeah, that would be a good way of putting it. Because I would say that a medium is somebody that can make lace. Then if you've got a psychic, mm-hmm. they're working with raffia. And then you've got a sensitive, they've got the silk, but they need to work out how to make the lace.
I see. And how do you develop a sensitive into a, or into a medium, sorry?
A sensitive can tend to develop very quickly, and it won't take them long to pull the strands together so that they're actually able to identify what the communicators are trying to put forward. So if you're working with all of the senses the way I do, I can have three communicators at once. I'll see one thing, hear something else, mm-hmm. and feel something completely different. In the sensitive, you can find sometimes it gets confusing. Whereas when you work on the medium bit, it's like you'll say to them, I can deal with one of you, not all of you. So you will specify and you'll pull on the strongest one. It may be the hearing that time, it may be the vision on another time, it may be they're working and giving you their ailments, which can be interesting.
Hmm. Now, you do a lot of work at the Spiritualist Church.
I do. I work in lots of churches all around the UK.
And you give messages, obviously, to the members in the church.
Oh, yes. Yeah, stand up there and make a fool.
Is there any time you don't... Is there any time you don't get any messages?
It's never happened to me on platform in the church. It's never happened to me yet, touch wood. Uh-huh. It's happened to me twice in one-to-one readings, with private readings. One time I didn't realise I was actually not well, and the next evening I started with a lovely case of flu. And the second time that it happened, this person... The message is there, but they just were going through with an answer of no to everything. So I drew a close to the meeting.
Why do you think that was?
I think it was they were just out to prove that mediumship or spirit didn't exist. And if they wanted to come and do that, that's their choice.
Yeah. Do you think if somebody comes in for a reading like that, that's negative or skeptical, that has an effect then, obviously?
I quite like the skepticals when they come. Because the more skeptic they are, they keep their feet on the ground. They're not hanging on to every word. They'll challenge me to come up with more and more evidence, which makes me work, which I absolutely love. Because then I'll challenge spirit, and they've got to do the work and come back with the evidence. If I've got somebody that sits there going, yes, 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 all the way through it, it's like, they can't accept everything. That there's no way any one medium can be that accurate.
Right. Do you feel like sometimes you're being tested by people?
I'm tested by spirit.
I mean, do you think people come to you just to test you and, you know, see if you're correct? And
yes, I've had a few of those, you know, and rightly so. It doesn't do me any harm to be tested. It doesn't do them any harm to gather evidence that either spirit's there for them or they're not. I love dealing with the ones that are very scientific and analytical, because they go away and then they'll send you an email later and they'll say, I was able to identify this, this and this, and I haven't found this. And then 2 years later you'll get a message back saying, I've now identified this member of the family through this strain of a family tree. So
so you have converted some skeptics.
I've converted some scientists, yes. So it's fun to do, but I like them to keep their feet on the ground. They've got to live their life here.
Right.
It's no good keeping your head up in the clouds.
That's true. I was reading some of your testimonials.
And
they're very good, actually. If you want to let everybody know your website also, where people can find more information, go ahead.
My website is www.annejermaine.co.uk. And it's a Jermaine with a G.
And you have Jermaine with a G? And an Anne
with an
E.
An E, You can Google me. I can be Googled.
You can be Googled. Everybody can be Googled. Yeah. You have something on YouTube.
I do.
And also a video.
I have a video working in a small spiritualist church, a little Christian spiritualist church called Young Sutton Church. They were really sweet. They let a camera crew come in with me. And there's a beautiful a prayer that's on there, which was done in semi-trance, and some demonstrations, and that's on YouTube, and you'll find me on there as Anne Germain, or Medium to the Mediums.
Now explain that a bit more, Medium to the Mediums.
The Medium.
Does that mean just what it says?
What it says on the packet. When I'm working in churches or halls or for private readings, you tend to find an awful lot of mediums suddenly appear in the audience. And somebody once turned to me and said, well, you're obviously the medium for all the mediums. It's like a copper's copper, isn't it? You've just got the evidence right for the ones that are the most critical. And they are other mediums.
I bet. Now, can they not get readings for themselves? Not readings, but, you know, messages.
We can. We can all get messages, but we tend to doubt because it's very personal to us. So sometimes it's nice to get the confirmation from somebody else.
Right.
Someone that you don't know particularly well, someone you don't see very often. You actually get the evidence confirmed from somewhere else.
I see. I've always thought if I had, you know, medium capabilities, I'd be worried that I was getting it wrong.
I can understand that, and I think that's the human part of us. As a medium, you learn, once you've tuned in, open your mouth and just say what comes out. Don't think about it, don't analyze it, don't look at it, just give out the information. And you tend to find it.
Huh.
Lovely.
Because I'm, you know, I've been on ghost hunts and, you know, I've seen something out of the corner of my eye and I'll just put it off. Well, you know, it's my peripheral vision. It was, you know, I'll put it down to something logical or rational.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very analytical when it comes to things like that. And that I'd always be doubting myself, I think.
But I think that that's not a bad thing because spirits, people can have very active imaginations. And
sure,
I think
really
that we can assume that we're seeing something. I will test spirit.
Right.
And if I see something out the peripheral vision, you know, I will turn around and say, okay, if that is something from spirit, come in here and move a curtain. Come and move something.
Right.
And I will challenge them to actually evidence themselves so that I know it's not my imagination. You know, because
right.
Sometimes you can be stressed out, you can be having all sorts of things going on. You want to know for definite whether they're there.
Do you find that being a medium and having, you know, psychic abilities, that it affects your health? I know a lot of mediums that are really in poor health because how much it drains them.
I tend not so much to get drained now. When I was working in the centre of London in a full-time job, and not doing this full-time, then I was doing two full-time jobs, which was spirit and a full HR role.
Right.
And that I found very draining. But I've not been knocked back as much as a lot of people. Mediums tend to have a problem sleeping. None of us do, because we get buzzed when we try and relax. Traveling doesn't.
Sarah Jane gets that all the time.
I know. I was talking about that the other day with that. But I think because we travel a lot, we have it really unsocial hours. You know, I get in from work at midnight. My other half, Keith, has gone to bed about 10 o'clock because he's up at 5.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to bed at 2 o'clock because I've unwound, and then I'll get up at 6.
Right.
Have odd hours.
Oh,
I think we get tired. So yes, that impacts on our health. I don't think it's spirit per se.
Right. So physically and emotionally worn out at times. Do you get woken up in the middle of the night?
Oh yes. Lots of times. You get the chatty.
So they don't respect.
Well, they don't have.
They don't respect your sleeping patterns.
No, they don't have a need to sleep. So they tend to... Normally, when they buzz me, it's for something important. If they're buzzing me at night now, it's important. Somebody that's close to me is either worried about something or there's health issues going on around that I need to be aware of. And they will tend to buzz me then. But most of the time now, if they buzz me, I tell them to buzz off. And if they come back twice, I'll listen to them. If they don't, then I'll know that I don't need to worry until the morning.
Have you ever gotten a message that is for somebody that you haven't met yet or you don't know who it's for?
I used to do a lot of psychic art. I haven't done that for a long time, and I got a picture for somebody about 3 years before I met them. And we were just looking through pictures once, and she said, and she identified that as an aunt that had passed.
Huh. Because I know one of your testimonials, it was, I don't think there was a name on it, but something about a CD. They did a reading with you, and they were very, very wary of it.
She broke it up and threw it away.
The things that you had mentioned.
Yes.
Yeah, because the things that you mentioned to her, she couldn't relate to her. I guess none of it had happened yet.
Was an aunt of hers or something trying to pass a warning to let her know that her whole life was about to change. And it was, I think it was either a day later or 2 days later, her husband walked out on her. So,
oh, really?
Big change.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is. What do you say to people that are skeptical? I know that you find it a challenge.
It's a challenge. And
there's a lot of skeptics, especially with all the television programs out there now.
Yes, bane of my life.
The websites.
Websites are good. Websites are good. I like to see some of the websites because they challenge people to provide more evidence, which I think is a good thing. As far as skeptics, I like them to just take away some of the stuff and think about it. Don't just dismiss it straight away. Leave it, accept it with an open heart. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. If it fits.
Because you'll get people out there that will just never believe, full stop.
Absolutely. But then that would be like saying some people still believe Elvis is alive. See my meaning?
I thought he was.
I hate to disappoint you, but he's not working in Tesco's. Or Sainsbury's. Or Anders.
I've seen a few in Vegas.
So have I. I saw one on the tube in London recently.
Did you?
Must have been going to a show or something, but he looked the worst for wear.
Let's talk a minute about ghost hunting and the paranormal. You've been on a few paranormal investigations.
I have, yes.
How did you like
Great
that?
Great fun. They are so much fun because you can learn so much from the other people as well as yourself, because you're having to check for the bits that I like looking for. Make sure it's not your imagination. Is there something that could be causing... Right. A draft? Is it, you know, are you standing over the top of a well? Is this why there's a draft around your feet? So I like that, and I love getting the pictures back when you've actually looked at them and listened back to the tape recordings and hear the bits that we didn't necessarily hear while we were there.
Right.
So they're good fun.
So you've had some good results then?
Had some great results. I have long hair at the moment, and one of the ones I did, I had my hair tied up. And it was pulled out when I was in a cellar. So all of the pins were pulled out. We had one where I've been pushed over. I've had one where I was taken over with a choice. It was allowed. It wasn't a forced one. We actually had a seance, and we sat down and we actually agreed for this person to come through. And he told us all about... the environment we were in, the building as it was, what he did in the building, how he fitted in society at the time he was there, or didn't, as the case may be.
I see. Have you been able to invoke them to you know, to do anything on the investigations, like move things or cause some sort of activity.
We've had the old-fashioned sash windows open. Now, that was a good one because there was no one near it, so the sash windows opened. Uh-huh. We've had burglar alarms go off. We've had people being spun on chairs where they actually physically start to move the chair around.
Really?
So, yeah, we've had some good fun.
Huh. Are you available to go on paranormal investigations with groups? Is that something
absolutely
that you want to do more
I
of?
I love going on them. It's, my diary is the challenge because I tend to get booked. I've already got bookings next year for Portugal and Scotland, and it's trying to fit them in.
For ghost hunts or for your
spiritual you know, demonstrations, private readings, churches, theatre, workshops and teaching.
And people can contact you through your website for more information
absolutely
on this.
Absolutely. I've got a very supportive husband who's got used to the fact I leave a photo by the front door and say, I'm coming back in a week.
He must be very understanding.
I think he's got used to me after all.
Have you ever been physically hurt by spirit?
I've had lots of bruises. The most recent I've had was I was working in Scotland in September, and I walked into a hotel room where I was staying and got shoved against a wall, got cut all down one arm and badly bruised on my leg, and we had to have me moved out of that particular room. And
we
found out afterwards that two other people had had the same experience in there, but it tends to be women in that room. And they'd had people try and clear this room before, but nobody would clear it. So I was put into a different room.
No kidding. Now, the house that Sarah Jane and I live in is haunted. And we had an experience, or I should say she had the experience one night, because she's constantly getting scratches and bruises, just unexplained appear. And one morning she had gotten in the bath, and she had what looked like bite marks on her bum. And I know I didn't do it. She can't reach that far. So
but yeah, that sounds about that sort of thing. I've had.
It was funny, but it was scary at the scary at the same time. So
we don't smoke.
But why do you think they?
I think.
Why do you think they do that?
They want to attract attention. You know, if they're not nice on the earth when they're alive, they're not going to change in spirit. And it could be. I mean, Sarah Jane's sensitive. It could be that they're just trying to get her to move on to the next step. I noticed that when I really started to work, the worst of the bites and the bruises and the what looked like cigarette burns, and being as I don't smoke, that's a challenge, they started to stop.
Right.
So
They're
not as bad as they used to be.
You say before they go on to the next step, what would the next step be?
For spirit or for Sarah Jane or a sensitive?
For spirit.
For spirit. It's like they're actually trying to get attention to say, you know, we need to move on. Can you move us on? Because a sensitive or a medium acts like a Belisha beacon. And with this Belisha beacon, it's like, hello, 90% of the world's population of spirit that need to move can see you. It's like Skype when you're not protected and hidden. You suddenly get calls from everybody.
So they know that you can communicate.
Yeah, they know that you can see them. They know that you can feel them. A lot of them are just asking for help. They want to move on and they don't know how. They've got a bit lost somewhere. Huh. Or they.
Do you see spirit often?
I see spirit nearly all the time.
Do you? Do they appear just like, you know, like we are now on
Absolutely.
Earth?
Absolutely, and it's a challenge on the tube. Because you walk into a tube and you try to work out where can you sit. And people probably think I'm mad, but most of the time I choose to stand because I can't tell if it's somebody sitting there or not.
Really?
I look to see.
See, I just can't. Go ahead, sorry.
I look to see if their feet are on the floor. If their feet are actually firmly on the floor, I have to make an assumption they're alive. If they're not quite on the floor,
really?
Make an assumption they're in spirit.
See, not being a medium or psychic, I just that's hard for me to fathom. I couldn't imagine. I don't know if I'd be scared or what I'd do.
I think
I guess you must get used to it.
You get used to it, but I think there's an awful lot of people that have an ability that spend most of their life in psychiatric units.
Huh. Now, what about ghosts? I mean, everybody that's listening, I'm assuming, knows the difference between a spirit and a ghost. Do you see lots of ghosts or residual energies?
The residual.
Just the same as spirits?
I like watching the residual energies because it's like watching a constant replay. I used to go to Hampton Court in Surrey as a child because we lived very close to there. And I'd go and sit in the Long Gallery and just watch the same picture go over and over again. And you sort of...
Really?
It's like watching a film set. And I think that's probably the best way of putting it. It's like a disjointed film set.
Huh. It's got to be cool, I would imagine.
If you're as mad as a hatter as I am, yeah, it's probably cool. If you're not, you start reaching for the happy pills.
After the initial shock, but I guess if you grow up with it since you were young, you just become used to it.
To me, it's normal. I don't know how people live without it.
Right.
How does somebody live where they have total silence? I've never had total silence. I've never been on my own. There's always been someone around.
Huh.
So I find...
Now, what if someday you just decided you've had enough, you didn't want to be a medium? Is that possible? Can you just...
Tried that.
Shut the whole thing down?
I've tried that.
You tried that?
Then I became ill.
Doesn't work?
Then I became ill.
Did you? Why is that?
I think it was trying to deny who I am, deny what I am. I tried to live without it. It's part of me. It's what I do. And when I tried to shut it out, my stress levels just went up through the roof. And emotionally, I became a bit of a wreck. Brought it back in. And it's been fine since.
Oh. So you don't have much choice but to accept it.
Yeah, I think it's my role in life.
Yeah, it must be. So there's some purpose, obviously, is just to help other people and bring comfort to them.
I think it's the mixture, isn't it? Because it's not just the ones on earth that are being helped. It's the ones that are in spirit. Because if they need to move on or they feel that they've got unfinished business, then they need the closure as much in spirit as the ones on earth need the closure knowing that their loved ones are fine.
True. That's true. I want to remind our listeners that if you're just listening, you're not logged into the live chat on Para-X Radio, that... At the top of their page, just under the header, is a little link for live chat. Sarah Jane's busy talking in the chat room, so if you have any questions for Anne that you want to ask her, be sure and ask in the chat room. Sarah will jot them down, and then I'll ask Anne here very shortly. Back to the ghost hunting again. You mentioned Ouija boards. Mm. Is that something that... You used often when you were doing the ghost hunts?
I've used them in ghost...
I know you did a seance.
Seances, yes. I've used them, call them a Ouija board or call them a spirit board, whichever. I have used them. I do teach people how to use them safely because a lot of people are very abusive when they use the spirit boards. Spirit can be very honest and very truthful when they use the spirit board, or... You can get someone that's going to lie to you and muck about and send the energy of moving a glass or the pectin or whatever you happen to be using as a instrument. They'll send it flying and smash it against a wall if they want. But people need...
Now, do you get spirits?
I was going to say people need to be respectful to spirit as well as you would to someone on the earth.
Do you get... spirits that are tricksters, you know, if you ask them questions and, you know, they just give you false answers just because that's the way that they
are. Absolutely. Children in spirit love using spirit boards. They absolutely have a whale of a time. And they will come up with all sorts of things. But I've worked out after a while that I tend to ask them, will you answer in truth? And because spirit aren't actually meant, and I've never had them where they actually outright lie, although I suppose they could do, I wouldn't necessarily know, or I haven't come across it yet, then if you ask them to answer in truth, then you tend to get a better response from them. But if you ask them if they're a child and if they're playing with you, they'll tell you they are. They are quite honest with that. Oh yes. Oh. Yeah, they'll tell you that they're playing with you. It's like when you use...
We're getting a lot of cop... Sorry.
I was going to say, it's like when you use dowsing crystals and pendants.
Right. Do you use a lot of those yourself?
No.
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 Do you think they help some mediums and spiritualists?
It's a very good focus for somebody, but because you're holding it in your hand, you can't guarantee that it's not your own physical body that's moving it. So I teach people how to use them in the classes, but I tend not to follow the words that come out of it in as gospel.
I see. What about for healing? A lot of people use
crystals. Absolutely amazing for healing. Very, very good for healing.
Are they? And protection?
Protection's very good. It lifts up energies and balances out. But if I'm drawn to something, I'll find out about it and utilise that as a skill. If I look at it and think, well, it's very pretty, but yeah, okay, fine, leave it on the side. It's not for me.
Huh, so you'll know, you get a vibe off.
Yeah, it's what you get the vibe off. I've got boxes of cards, you know, angel cards and oracle cards, and yeah, they're very pretty. I like the pictures. I don't use them. I have them, and I calm people down with saying, look at these pictures. But I just do the direct link. It's a lot easier.
They're more of a tool, aren't
they? They are a tool. It's like having a comforter blanket in front of you. A lot of mediums that use them don't need them.
Well, I've heard that. A lot of mediums just use them for show. That, you know, that they really don't mean anything. But some of the people that are getting the reading think that if you use the cards or something, that's just, you know, emphasizes, you know, the reading itself, that it means more if you're using a visual tool.
They feel more comfortable when they can focus on something. Especially if you've got someone that's never had a reading before, it's easier to focus them on a picture, on a card. I tend to use that when I've got people that are coming in, maybe 17, 18-year-olds. Yeah, have a look at those cards. And because you're thinking you're getting the messages from the cards, you're not. You're getting the message from Master Kelly.
Right. I see. We're getting a lot of comments about how calming you are.
Thank you. I comatose you, Hatsa. My heart in life is comatose people.
No, I don't think they're falling asleep.
I'm glad to hear it. I'll hear the snoring from here. It's something I've been told.
So has it? It's not the first time.
A lot of people have said that my whole persona is very calming, very relaxed, and meditative, I suppose, would be a way of putting it. I do calm people down, especially if they're stressed.
I'm sure it's what makes you such a good healer.
I hope so.
Well, you need to come on a paranormal investigation with us.
I was meant to come on one, but we had a bit of a problem my end with my dad not being well.
I know. I'm sorry to hear that. Everybody put their prayers out to your father.
Yeah, let his passing happen quickly, please.
Yeah.
He's not a well bunny.
But you'll... No, I'm sorry to hear that. But he wants to listen to the show, I know.
Yes, he's asked me to be recorded.
Sure, get that to him.
He's going to bore the hospital with it.
Oh.
No, take my word for it. It'll be on 24/7.
But at least he believes in your abilities
he
now,
does.
So that's got to be comforting.
He hasn't got any choice.
So the mediumship now and your being a spiritualist minister? That's a full-time job occupation for you?
It's not so much the spiritual minister, because that has taken more of a step back now, although I am still working with doing christenings and weddings and funerals. I hatch, match and dispatch, and then I talk to them. So
hatch, match and dispatch. That's good. You need that on your website.
I know. I think a lot of people are quite frightened when, because I am a spiritual minister and I'm a Christian spiritual minister, which means I wear a dog collar sometimes, and it can frighten people. So
a dog collar.
I lost my job in London because I'm wearing a dog collar.
Did you really?
But I got told I wasn't allowed to wear my ministerial collar at all in a working environment.
Really?
So I sued the Home Office and
I've
been unemployable since.
You sued the Home Office?
I lost, but hey, who cares?
That's taking on the big
dogs. Absolutely. I didn't expect to win, but it was not particularly fun at the time, but it needed to be done. But no, I tend to do more of my mediumship now. My mediumship, and it's about the only thing I've got time to do now. Because it's taken off so much.
Really?
And I love it.
Well, that's good.
It's the most amazing job in the world.
What do you say? You said you're a Christian spiritualistic minister, is that correct?
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
Christian spirit.
Now, there's a lot of Christian people that, you know, don't believe in the spiritualistic movement and, you know, think that, you know, communicating with the dead or people that have passed on is evil and the devil's work. What do you say to those people?
They'll have a bit of a surprise when they pass into spirit, won't they?
That's true.
Because
there is quite a few.
Everybody has to have their own belief. If it fits their heart, it's right for them. If it doesn't fit my heart, then I don't take it. Therefore, it's my path, not theirs.
Right. And a lot of people, I think, especially those people, don't know the connection between God and, you know, the spiritualistic church or spiritualist church.
I think spirits send us great teachers. Whether you call them Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, whatever, they're sent as teachers. We choose to ignore them or follow them, but sometimes we try to be dictatorial about what should be learnt from a person. But that's man controlling man on the earth, not what the original message was for, I don't think.
Interesting. How often do you said that the spiritualist ministry has just taken sort of a back burner for the moment because you're so busy? Is that something that you're going to continue doing though?
I will continue to be a minister because I've been ordained, so I've taken up that particular yoke. It just means that my availability for doing the hatch, match and dispatch bit is very curtailed. It tends to be more for, I'll do the funerals for personal friends, family members. I do the christenings for personal friends. Weddings are a bit more involved because of the English law. You have to have a particular location. It's not the individual that's licensed. So they're more of a challenge. But if somebody asks me, then I will do it.
Huh. I didn't realize that you had the authority to marry people. And
I have the authority to marry people legally in the UK. I have the authority also to bury them, cremate them, or deal with their passing on the legal aspects.
Huh. Now, I know a lot of the listeners tonight are in America, and I'm not sure in the spiritualist church there if they're as recognized as it is here in England. Do you know about that?
There's a lot of spiritualist churches in America. I've seen a lot of them on the websites. I think they're growing in number, but they're very, very open. compared to, I think, what they are in the UK. They're very much more modern. In some of the UK ones were in these little tiny scout huts where if it rains, you all put your umbrella up inside because it's rain's coming through the roof. They seem to have much nicer surroundings, but it's much more accepted. But there seems to be more on a psychic level, or most shop corners have got the local psychic. So I think that they're moving more towards the mediumistic way. But I know that they quite like our English mediums.
Oh, yeah, everybody loves your accents here. Especially Tom and Para X.
I have
he just melts at the English accent.
I have a very southern...
That's what I tell everybody.
I have a very southern, a Surrey accent, I'm afraid.
Southern Surrey
southern
accent.
Surrey accent.
Surrey born and raised.
Predominantly, but with a bit of sort of tripping up to the north, because my mum comes from the north, and then down to the south coast, because my dad's from the south coast, and I've got family dotted in just about every corner of the world now.
Oh, good. Well, we're going to take a short break here, probably about 4 or 5 minutes, give everybody a chance to go make a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, and give everybody a little break. When we come back, we're going to be taking some questions. Hope you don't mind, Dan. I'm sure people would like to know more about you and what you do. So everybody, stay tuned, and we'll be back
very
shortly.
Check out our website at soulseekers.org.uk.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know I've had a drink problem, and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hear me?
Yes, Piggy?
What are you listening to?
Soul Seekers, Radio, P. That, Sarah Jane's pretty, nice. Wait, Piggy, please don't hurt me, Piggy. Hi-ya!
When a child is abducted, every second counts. That's why this station uses the Internet Radio Amber Alert System, helping to keep your children safe. A free service of the Internet broadcasting community and this station.
You are listening to the Soul Seekers on Para X Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome to Soul Seekers Radio. I'm Gil, your host tonight. Tonight's guest is Anne Germain. We've been speaking to her for about an hour now, and how calming and soothing Anne's voice is. She's a spiritual healer, a Reiki master, and a spiritualist minister. Anne, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
I see you said your room is freezing. You have lots of spooks in
it's
there.
It's absolutely freezing. I'm like sitting in my dining room. I had to nip out and get a woolly jumper.
Really? Can you see them all?
I can see a lot of them, yes.
Are they all familiar faces?
No. There's a lot that I've never seen before. They're all new ones to me.
Really? Who do you think they might be?
Not sure. There's a little girl that's playing around. She keeps moving all of the curtains. And I've got my angels all lit up in here tonight. And they're playing around the angels.
Oh, we welcome them to the show.
I think they're enjoying it.
One of our listeners was wondering if you've been getting any messages, possibly, from anybody that's in the chat room or that's listening.
I've not really been tuned in for messages. I suppose I could do if they wanted me to. It's up to you.
Oh, that's up to you. That's up to you. I was just maybe wondering maybe some of the spirits that are there with you, if maybe that's why they're there.
But there is one particular gentleman that seems to keep coming in, bringing himself forward. He has a real South, the deep South American type of accent. But you have to bear with me because I'm not brilliant on the accents, but he's showing me America, and as I'm looking, he's showing me sort of
Mobile,
yeah,
Alabama,
something like that, down in that sort of area, and he's showing me that he would have had a family with three children in it. He's coming in a father type of vibration. He's really hit me in the chest, so he would have gone with a heart type of condition, so it would have been a massive heart attack. He's a big man. He's a big man, so I think he ate himself to death looking at this. He would have been aged around 58, maybe 59, can't get him much more than that. He would have a son that's listening in at the moment. So that would probably be a good description of him. I'm trying to get him to come forward enough so I can work out if he's a black American or if he's white American. At the moment, I would say he's white. In his spirit, maybe 5 to 7 years, can't put much more than that. Birthday of March, the 6th and 7th would be important around his family.
Well, we do have a lot of American listeners listening, so if anybody this might pertain to you, if you can say so in the chat room, and Sarah Jane will jot that down. I've also got a message for you, Anne, from Angela in London.
Okay.
And she really wants you to come to London and do a spiritualist church in London.
Whereabouts in London is she?
You have to give us a second. Angela, whereabouts in London are you? There's a bit of a delay in this,
it's
so
just
the answer will come.
London's a big place.
Momentarily. Dominique, hello Dominique, wants to know why she feels someone is constantly looking over her shoulder.
It's probably going to be either her guide or a very close member of the family, maybe a grandparent or something like that, just keeping an eye on her, making sure she's protected and safe.
For her own well-being.
For her own well-being. They're not interfering. She can always tell them to go and sling it, and they'll go.
Seeker of the Truth, which is someone's name in the chat room, has a question. Do you work with other mediums or do you always work alone?
I work with other mediums. I've got a big demonstration coming up with AD, who's another medium. I've worked with lots of different mediums over the years. It's great fun working with other mediums, especially big demonstrations.
Do you ever get any mediums that, you know, just question or say what message you're getting isn't true?
No.
Is there ever a conflict?
No. Personally, I've not had that. The mediums I tend to work with seem to be very giving, gentle mediums, very like myself, mad as hatters, who are out to work for spirit and to bring forward proof. So we tend not to let the egos get in the way.
Sorry, hold on just 1 second.
Dulwich.
Sorry.
I'm trying to think whereabouts that.
In London.
I've not been invited to any centres there, but I will certainly add it to my list of places to look for doing evenings of clairvoyance or something like that. I will add it to my list.
Okay. All right. Everybody loves you tonight, Anne. You're a very lovable person.
Mad as a hatter.
Another question from one of the listeners. Do you ever get evil spirits come through?
I've had a couple of cantankerous ones. I wouldn't say they were evil. I had one which this happened a long time ago, so there's not been a recent one. When I was first starting to work, I had a gentleman that had taken himself in spirit, and he made me feel very suicidal, and we had to get together with another four mediums to try and actually move him on. But that's when I first started.
Four mediums?
It took four other mediums to move him on. He wouldn't leave me alone. He really got a bit attached. Took a shine to me.
Really? So you work in numbers when you need more power.
Absolutely.
So to say.
If I do a house clearance and if I've gone there and I've found that it's really not a pleasant environment, or that there's something that's really not nice, and I'll call in another medium and go in mob-handed to move them on.
Huh. What's your view on exorcisms then from the Catholic Church?
I have actually undertaken exorcisms as a minister. Most of the time, people don't need an exorcism. They feel they do, but very rarely do they actually need one.
Do you think, Sorry, go ahead.
So it tends to be that someone's around them, or they're not willing to accept that they have to help themselves to a degree to move on the spirit. But very rarely do you actually need a full-blown exorcism.
So they're not necessarily a demonic force, then, that has to be removed?
No.
Do you believe in possession, then?
Yes. Rare, very rare. But because I channel, then I know that spirit can come in. So there has to be possession,
right,
or has to be the possibility of possession. It's a very badly controlled medium, a very badly controlled channel. And if there's no control, then you can't tell them when to go.
But can an ordinary person just be taken over by, you know, a bad spirit or a demon?
I think they can be influenced. I wouldn't necessarily think they can be just taken over. But I've still got a lot to learn. I'm asking my guide that one at the moment. I'm asking him to come forward and give me an answer. And he's actually saying that it is a possibility that those upon the earth can be influenced to an extent where they lose control of their own mind. Therefore, you would consider it on the earth as being a possession.
I see. Just out of curiosity, how many spirits guides do you have?
At the moment, tonight I'm working with 5 of them.
5. How many do you have in total?
I have no idea. No idea. They all come and go. It depends what I need and who I need, what strength I need, what guidance I need. So if I'm healing, I'm working with 1 set of guides. If I'm teaching, I'm working with another set of guides. I have 12 monks that I work with if I'm teaching in a development circles. I've got I've got my little friend who comes in. I've got a flyer who has been working with me a while but did the remembrance service at a church in trance, and his words apparently were pretty amazing. So it depends. Everybody has lots of guides. We all go through different stages in life, and those guides will come forward when you need them.
Another question from the chat room. Do spirits ever use white noise to talk to you over the phone or, you know, through the television or radio?
Oh, yes.
Does that ever happen to you?
Very strange. I used to do a lot of audio typing, and even now I still get very strange white noise messages in the JPEGs and stuff, the WAV things that come across for me to type up. So, yes.
Why do you think that is? Is it easier for them to communicate through electronic devices than directly?
Well, you get some people on the earth that like playing with electronic toys. And why should they be any different in spirit? If it's a medium they can use, why not?
True. Do you get premonitions? Is another question from one of our listeners.
I used to, when I was a child, but I found them quite frightening. So I asked not to get them. Occasionally they come in, and I don't like them, if I'm honest. I really don't like them. I don't need them. I can't act on them. I can't stop whatever it is that they're giving me the premonition of. So I'd rather they didn't give me them, to be honest. So they tend not to.
And so they don't give them to you?
Not very often. I get odd bits. If it's to do with my family, I tend to know when people are pregnant well before they do.
Sarah Jane does that also. She can tell
so
somebody's
pregnant. Any minute now, that one's going to come around and say they're expecting, and you'll say, "Oh no, definitely not. Not trying." And then 3 months later, I'm going to kill you. My hairdresser said that once because I told him that his wife would be expecting, and they said they weren't trying, and then 2 months later I got shouted, and then I said that's okay because the next one will follow exactly 10 months later, and the next one arrived 10 months and 1 day later.
No kidding.
I don't think it's...
That's very accurate. Are you getting any more messages from anybody that might be listening?
Well, I'm not sure whether this isn't for you or whether it's for Sarah Jane actually, because I've got a child that's listening that would be spirit side, but would have gone straight to spirit, wouldn't have walked on the earth. would be round about the age now, I suppose, of 7 to 9 years old, female. Just around a birthday time coming up for this one, or that they're talking about a birthday time coming up. So it could be, it might be for yourself, but because I'm working on the computer and the Skype, it could be a bit difficult to work out quite who it belongs to.
Right, Sarah Jane's sitting right next to me, so it might be her. I don't know.
Oh, it could be some.
Any more ideas on the visitors in your room with you?
Well, they've tended to. I've warmed up a bit, so they've obviously, whoever was the one that wanted to communicate was the gentleman, and he's obviously, he maybe not have been acknowledged as such, but whoever is listening in on this is aware of who he is, because he's moved back and the room's warmed up a bit. So I've stopped.
Is that what generally happens? Is the room will go cold?
The room goes cold and I get really cold. And if I was to be on stage working or platform, I would then get really hot as they get really close. But my nose is still frozen.
Oh, really? So you get cold first, and then when they get close,
they bring their energy in.
Let's see what some of these other questions are. Miss Scarlett, have you ever seen a light or orb when someone has passed over?
I see orbs all of the time, and I see lights all of the time. I think that the thing that I tend to see more than that is the aura leaving the physical body, but that happens quite some time. It goes, it loses its colour, it loses iridescence, and starts to fade away. But that tends to be letting me know that that person will be passing shortly.
Now, a lot of psychics or mediums, you know, become more intuitive, or their abilities become more enhanced when they have near-death experiences. Do you find that to be true?
I think it's happened. I vaguely believe that's the case. Yeah, I've had a similar experience when I was 21, but I won't say for definite that that made me a stronger medium, or it's become more acute, or I've become more receptive. I think the more trusting in spirit I've become, the more receptive I've become, more than a near-death experience.
Because a lot of people, you know, that have near-death experiences describe how they've, you know, go into the light, and whether, you know, a relative or someone sends them back. And I know in America, some of the hospitals now are putting in the operating rooms, we call them operating theaters over here, but they put high shelves up and they put an object up there just for
get them knocked
it. You know, sorry.
Get them knock it down, or so that they can actually see it and say what was up there
and describe it. Yeah, they can describe it when they come back, and you know they know that there's no way they could have known it was up there unless they actually did see it. So
I think that there's definitely something there that I can't explain away. I know that a lot of people that do have a near-death experience don't want to come back, and are quite disappointed when they have to come back because it's not their time. So there's definitely something there.
Another question from one of our listeners. How can you stop emotional vampires from penetrating?
Never found one yet. So what challenge have I had, if I'm honest?
I don't know if that means a vampire is, you know, a spirit sucking their emotions out, or whether it's literally an emotional vampire.
I'd say I have more problem with people on the earth with that. I would say that maybe a way I would understand that is that somebody that is very needy, that would constantly wanting to be seeing somebody, this is where I'd say keep your feet on the ground. They go from message to message to message and constantly expect you to be living their life for them through spirit. I don't see.
Right.
They're not allowed to. I will only see them once every 6 months. I will not see somebody more often than that. And if I think they're getting too reliant on spirit, then, sorry, no appointment.
Really? Once every 6 months?
More often than that. They've got to live on the air. Huh. They've got their own life to live. They can't go from message to message.
True. I'm sure there's some people obsessed with, you know, the spirit world and trying to get messages and answers and things like that.
Some people would prefer spirit to live their life for them. They won't decide what color to paint the hallway unless spirit tell them.
Huh. Somebody in the chat room, that message you gave a minute ago about the baby, mm-hmm. Someone in the chat room is saying they have a 6-year-old girl and it was their baby was lost, but you said they weren't that old.
Well, it's difficult with spirit because they don't age the same as we do.
Right.
So it's very difficult to put an age on a child that's in spirit. The best way I would say is if you look at a child or a person that passes very early in their age, they look quite angelic. Even if they're very ill, they have an angelic look. And that's what I see when I see them in spirit. They lose all the worry. There's no weight of life on them, I think, is probably a good description. So,
I see. Yeah, I got that mixed up. There's a lady in the chat room that has lost a baby 6 years ago.
Okay, well, that would be about the right age for the one that I saw that's dancing around a whale of a time.
So she's doing fine.
She's doing
then.
Fine. Around the mum a lot. She'll be around her mum a lot. She won't forget that mum's there. They still very much keep an eye on them from spirit side. Just because they don't hold them on the earth, they wait for them until it's mum's turn or to go to spirit, and then they'll be there waiting for them to greet them.
I see. Any more messages or things that you're picking up from anybody?
To be honest, I'm absolutely being bombarded. And to pick one voice out over all of the others,
it's hard.
It's a challenge. I'm being shown American cars. So there's obviously a strong American connection that's coming through, whether this is because I'm talking to you with the American accent or whether it's all the people that are in the chat room.
Right. I don't have an accent.
Yes, you do. I don't have an accent. I think we're on a loser there.
Well, there is a lot of American listeners tonight, so I'm sure that could be the reason why. And this lady that we mentioned with the baby, she did lose her baby in pregnancy 6 years ago. So whether that's the one you picked up on or not.
I picked up one. She's since had the one that this child is saying that her mum's since had more children. So there are others that are on the earth that link with this lady.
I see.
So there would be more.
No more from the man in Alabama.
He's got a really big, you'd call it a pickup truck, if I think.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, it's like a big, really weird. Sorry, really weird. I'm saying it's weird. It's like a big Ford type of truck. It would have something to do with mechanics or mechanical, because it's got what looks like a pulley on the back that you would pull. I'd call it a low loader, but it's that you would put a vehicle on the back of, like a pickup truck. And that's around on the earth now, this pickup truck.
Is it?
Because when I get things that are earth-based, I get cartoons. So at the moment, I'm looking at cartoon characters.
Oh, cartoons.
For people on the earth and situations on the earth, I get cartoons. They've done it since I was little, so I'm comfortable with it. I've got used to it. It's just interesting,
really?
Because at the moment, you know, the Looney Tunes with from the rabbit, I can't think what his name is.
Bugs Bunny.
Like Bugs Bunny, but they did like a film that had all
Roger Rabbit.
Roger Rabbit. And it's like the cars and the pickup trucks that were in there that were from the tunes, the Looney Tunes bit.
Huh.
So that would be a good description, that you get the two together and trying to work out which one's which. But it's to do with the Earth. So this is the pickup truck. I know it's on the Earth. And I know at the moment there's a problem with the actual mechanical gear for winding something onto to pull it onto this truck. And this gentleman is agitated about the fact that there's something needing to be repaired or something to be looked at on the back of this truck.
Huh, a winch or a pulley.
Yeah, it's something you would, of course, you can really tell I'm mechanical here. You see me trying to do this on platform, when you're trying to explain stuff, it's, yeah, this a dog, yeah, it's got a leg in each corner and a tail. Just say a breed, forget it. So it's like this truck, it's sort of big, and it's got a winchy thing on the back, and it's not working properly.
Well, if any of our listeners that pertains to you, please let Sarah know.
And then help me, because I'm losing the plot.
Do you think that, especially in the paranormal world now, with all the programs that are on television, people are more easily willing to come forward and say, you know, that they believe, making it harder by, you know, places we investigate, venues or whatever, that are just charging exorbitant fees now just to get in and investigate, you know, a location paranormally. So I think it's had its good points and its bad points.
So. It's made us, I think maybe it's made us sort of mediums become more professional. A lot of them, you know, are now thinking a little more about what they're doing and not being quite so flippant. But you have to give respect, and this is what I meant at the beginning, I think, when I said about people being respectful to spirit. Because if you're not respectful and you're running on an ego, spirit will take away from you whatever skill or ability they've given you, because why should they sit and put up with you abusing them?
True. We have another question for you. If you had a choice, would you choose to have this gift?
No, I'd like a normal life. I'd like...
Has it become a burden? A burden at
I
times.
I've got used to it now. I think if I'd been given a choice a long time ago, I would have said no. And hindsight, a lovely thing. But I've spent my life being treated like a freak. So, for that aspect of it, I would say no. But now, I think probably... I love the job that I do. I've had to make sacrifices to do the job, but they weren't ones through choice. My husband's had to make them sacrifices as well. We don't have children. But that's the spirit-dictated thing, I think, not my choice. So that's the sort of thing I get with sometimes. So, yeah.
Huh. That's interesting. 'Cause Sarah Jane, you know, feels the same way. A lot of times she just gets fed up and wishes that, you know, she never had her abilities, because it's just overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah. It's a very powerful thing. It's like sometimes I'll be working, and I do psychic fairs and things like that to work. I have to earn a living. And I'll come home and I'll turn around to my husband Keith and say, another good day at the freak show.
But like we were just saying a minute ago, it is more widely acceptable now than it was, say, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, it's true.
People are more open to it.
But I think that I'm working on Monday night at an evening psychic fair. And it's like, when I start, it's like, you know, I've got a queue, and it's like, just give me a box of tissues, because everyone that sits down with me is going to go away crying. Smile on their face, but they're going to go away crying, because they'll have had the closure. And to get the closure, you get the tears.
What if you get a message for somebody that's, you know, not very positive? Do you hold it back, or do you give them the message anyway?
You have to give a message. If a message comes through, you have to give the message, but you have to be very careful how you word the message. Spirit never tell you, oh, that person's going to die, because if they did, I wouldn't say it. I might say, I feel a wonderful, peaceful future for this person. Spirit is very peaceful. I've had to pass the message on, but I've had to word it carefully. Spirit never tell you, oh, that person's going to die, because if they did, I wouldn't say it. I might say, I feel a wonderful, peaceful future for this person. Spirit is very peaceful. I've had to pass the message on, but I've had to word it carefully.
Right. Do you get overwhelmed sometimes from, like, the spirit's feelings?
Yep.
I mean, if
I've learned a long time ago, if I'm working, to wear waterproof mascara. Because if spirit come in, they bring their emotion. And with their emotion will come tears. And they stream down. It doesn't disturb me, but it ruins my makeup. I got fed up looking like a panda.
Or just don't wear any makeup.
I'm very blonde. And I sort of, the blue eyes, I just suddenly disappear with no makeup on. But that is not something that I do. No makeup. That or waterproof. Yeah, they do bring a lot of emotion in.
Do they?
Yeah.
I bet it's hard to hold it back. Or like you said, it just comes
out. It's no good me trying to stop the tears. If they're going to come down, they're going to come down. And if you let spirit get that close, that's where the evidence is for the person, because that's where the mannerisms will come through. That's where the words and the sayings that are particular to a person. They may have a particular way of saying a word. Say, ambulance. If I was to say ambulance, but if my sister was in spirit and came through, she'd say ambulance. So it's little words, it's little things that are the evidence that I couldn't have known, that I wouldn't pick up. So if I have a booking, I only have a first name and a telephone number, so that there's no way I can research them. I don't want to research them. I have no time to research them.
Right.
So it's a way of giving the evidence, I think.
Now, what about the other end of the spectrum? What if you get a message from a spirit that's just really angry, really upset, and, you know, hates the world, hates everybody? Does that come through too?
Yeah, you'll get the few that come through, particularly belligerent ones. You get them where they're effing and blinding, which is a bit of a challenge because I don't like swearing particularly, so I have to edit. You get the edited version of what great Uncle Fred's saying. So it's like, excuse me, but he's saying bleep, 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 bleep. And by the way, they didn't do the funeral the way that he wanted it. And it will get that pernickety, and he'll say, oh, I wanted that book to go to so-and-so, and I wanted that book to go to someone else, and I dropped dead and nobody sorted my paperwork out. And if they're going to come in and have a rant, then they'll come in and have a rant, but you often also get them coming in with an apology, especially if they've done something they've done on the air. There's been quite a few.
Have you ever had it? I'm sorry, go ahead.
So there's been quite a few where we've had some tearful reunions with people on the earth, with people in spirit, where there's been a lot of apologies put forward. They can't undo the damage they've done to a particular person when they're on the earth, but they can at least try to make some recompense.
Apologize. Well, that must be a good feeling for both sides, actually.
I think so. It means that the person that's in spirit is moving up, and they're moving through, and often you'll find that someone on the earth is willing to forgive them. Other times you'll find they're not.
Uh-huh.
It depends how much pain they've inflicted.
So do you believe in reincarnation?
I think so, yes. I think so. I don't plan to come back. In fact, I don't want to come back. Not unless I'm
back. As a cat. I know you're a big cat.
In a particular household like this one, where they run the household.
That last question, by the way, do you believe in reincarnation, was from Hemp.
Okay.
And they also asked the question whether you would choose to have this gift again. I know some mediums, our last guest, you know, just believes we come back continually, time and time again, and we choose you know, who we come back as for whatever reason?
I think that, yes, we would choose to come back. If we were going to choose, I think we'd come back to choose to learn a particular lesson we hadn't learned, or to develop or help in a way that we hadn't been able to previously. But if I had a choice, would I come back? No.
Not even to live your life a different way, or you know, not being a medium, just to live normally.
If I was going to come back again, I'd probably relive the whole thing again, the same life, because even now, all the things I've been through, I wouldn't actually change anything, because if I changed it, I wouldn't be me.
Right.
So, if I come back again, it could be because I need to learn something I didn't learn this time. Maybe to learn to drive earlier, I don't know.
Drive earlier? Do you believe in regression, you know, hypnosis and past life regression?
I have done past life regression and been the receiving end of it as well, which was quite interesting. Unfortunately, I had my throat cut in both occasions and starved to death.
What, in both past lives?
But we found out, one of them, I have a strong connection with Scotland, and we couldn't work out why, but one of the past lives took me back to being in the Jacobean Revolution. And
really?
I have a strong connection with Scotland, apparently.
And your throat slit twice in two different lives.
Two different lives. One was as a runaway slave, and the other one was just a murder. A murder.
You weren't too lucky.
No. It's a bit of a bummer, really. That keeps me to keep my mouth shut, I suppose.
This one sounds like it's been a lot better. Do you do hypnosis?
I do hypnosis because I'm also a qualified clinical hypnotherapist. I do hypnosis.
I've never been hypnotized, or not that I know of anyways, or had a past life regression. But I'd find it interesting, I think.
If you can...
For some reason, I believe I was in the Civil War in America for some reason. I don't know why.
It's a strong possibility if you have that as a recurring dream. You can often find that recurring dreams are past lives sort of manifesting forward.
Thing is, I don't really remember many of my dreams. Once in a great while, I'll remember a snippet of a dream, but normally I don't remember my dreams at all.
See, no trouble on your mind there, then. Peaceful sleeping like a baby.
Sleep like a log. Could set off a nuclear bomb next to me. I think I'd sleep through it.
That could be interesting.
I used to when I was younger. I used to get the same dream over and over, that I was falling, and I could actually feel myself falling, but it was always into water, and just as I'd hit the water, I'd wake up.
See, that I would say is you've been astral traveling, and you're coming back into your body, and that's where the falling is. And you wake up when you come back in with a start. Makes you jump.
Oh. I wonder where I went.
Looking for sweets.
I always saw... When I was 4, I almost drowned. Well, came real close to drowning. I was pushed into a pool and I didn't know how to swim. And I can remember vividly, like it was yesterday, just laying at the bottom of the pool and looking up and seeing the sun. But I didn't try and swim, I didn't try and get up, and it was just really peaceful, just laying there. So I always wondered, because I had these dreams after that, you know, hitting the water, if that had some significance or something.
Could have been. It could be, sort of, suppose you're playing it out in your mind, the subconscious dealing with it.
I don't know, but I always remember, you know, the falling bit, just falling and falling, and as soon as I hit the water, sometimes I'd even be like walking on a dock on a lake, and then I'd fall off, and I'd wake up as soon as I hit the water.
You weren't meant to pass then.
I guess not. Obviously not. So are your visitors still in your room? Any new ones yet?
I've got lots of animals in here tonight. I've got a couple of dogs, beautiful looking dogs, like a wolfhound. Type of dog, massive, great big thing, a wolfhound.
Irish Wolfhound.
That's why he's got a tail and a leg in each corner. I'm lucky that I know what that is. It's because somebody said Irish Wolfhound. Well, I heard the Wolfhound, you said the Irish. But it's a big dog. Seems to think it's impersonating a horse.
They can't give you messages, can they?
They don't speak a language that I would know, but guides or communicator will bring them in with them. There's an elderly lady that came in with this one. She's...
One question I've always... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Carry on. She'll wait.
No, I was... You were just picking up on
something. Yeah, it was an elderly lady, like a grandmother type of vibration that was coming through. She's not telling me where she fits or who she belongs to or where she lives, because I'm not picking up a strong accent or anything with her. She's gone with a cancer type condition. She's about 5'5", 5'4", something like that, quite slim. Dark haired, would have gone grey. Very, very neat and particular about how she looks, because she's pulling me upright as if to say, stop slouching, sit up properly. Would have had a breast cancer condition that took her into spirit. Just
nothing else from
her? No, not at the moment. We'll have to wait. So I work on very much on a voice vibration, which can make it challenging when it's sort of, I wait for them and I don't know who they want to link with, because normally I'll know exactly who I'm linking with. If I'm standing in a theatre, I will know exactly what chair I want to link with, who I'm linking, who needs the message. So I can sometimes know before I even get in there as to which chair I'm going to link with first.
Sarah Jane's Irish. Don't know if the Irish Wolfhound has any ties to that or not.
I didn't know she was Irish.
Oh. Just a coincidence.
Okay.
Yeah, she's very Irish. You should see her temper.
There's no other.
When you're on the platform or on stage, do you get a lot of spirits just come in, you know, like 20 of them come in at once?
Yeah, they sort of
try and butt
come
in.
Come on like a busload. It's like a charabang. Yeah. It gets very loud when you're standing on platform and they're all shouting at you, trying to attract your attention. But all of a sudden you'll get, the way I work is you get like a real pull, and you'll just know you're going to one person. But most of my vision goes when I work on platform. So I tend to see the colours of what somebody's wearing rather than anything else about the person. I'll maybe identify the male or female, but I will sort of just go, I'm with a person that's got that red jumper on, or I'm with a person that's got a black t-shirt on that's got a logo with three words on it. And they will direct me that way.
Huh. So they'll let you know who the message is for.
They let me know who the message is for.
I just had a question in mind, and now it's just slipped away. Are you picking up anything else for anybody?
Come back in.
And if anybody has any questions they'd still want to ask Anne, feel free.
I'm happy to talk.
Sarah Jane's still busy in the chat room. I guess there's quite a few people in there.
She's chatting away for Ireland now.
If you want to give your website again to everybody, Anne, because I know there's some that want to contact
it's
you.
It's www.annejermaine.co.uk. It's a nice easy one. Anne with an E, Jermaine with a G.
And the other one you mentioned before,
Medium to the Mediums, and that's a .com, mediumstothemedium.com. But that's more for agents and people booking big parties and things like that. So it's almost the same, except that has a video on it at the moment, the same as the YouTube.
Okay. I've got another question here for you from the listeners. A young lady lost her dad. Mm-hmm. And she so heard about it, and she would love a message from him.
Okay. Right. Can you just give me the lady's name is? Has she got a nickname that's linking there?
it'll take just a minute for this to come through. So if you can give us your name, please, the young lady.
And I'll see
as soon
if I can.
As it, I get it.
And I'll see if
I'll pass it on
her
to you.
Father to come forward.
I have a question
okay.
for you. And referring back to some of the medium shows or paranormal shows, a medium, I won't say their name, went to a different country and was getting channeled or taken over by a spirit there. But in that country, they don't speak English. But of course, when they were being channeled, they spoke in English.
Right.
Why is that? Why wouldn't it be in the native tongue of where they're at or where the spirit is from?
I would have expected it to be in the native language, but you can never quite tell what the channel has asked to have put forward. If I'm working, not so much channeling, but if I'm working with someone from a different country and their loved ones come forward, I don't understand a word they're saying. So I actually have to get interpreted so that I do understand what they're saying. So the first thing that will come through is I've got a person here that isn't speaking native English. I can't understand. You have to bear with me while I wait for them to get it so that I can understand it. And then they will get it interpreted for me. You know, I don't speak different languages, so... But then it will come through in a language that I can understand. It's like having a bagel fish in your ear, I suppose, if you watch Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Let me just ask... Okay. I've got this cleared up. The girl that asked, you know, about her father.
Okay.
Her name is Dominique. Her name is Dominique.
Oh, it's Dominique. Okay. Not sure whether this is the right gentleman for her or not, but I have a gentleman that's coming forward that is giving me quite a bad pain around the stomach area. He's bending me over as if this is quite a traumatic passing. In as much as he was very poorly before he passed into spirit, he would have been quite... a powerful man in his role in his job. He would have been very much either business at work, and then he would have had home life. He would have kept the two very separate. He's coming in height wise I'd put him round about 6 foot, so I'd be looking at a man that's 5'10" to 6 foot in height. Broad set, would have lost a lot of weight before he passed. I don't know if that's the right one for her, but I've got really hot. I went cold, now I'm getting really hot. So the amount of power this man's coming through is quite phenomenal. So he would have been quite a strong, powerful personality when he was on the earth, although he could have been quite private in his family. So it would have been family or business. He would have tried to keep the two separate.
Right. I've got another question. Oh, this is from Sarah Jane, actually.
Mm-hmm.
She's been searching for an old friend for a long time, and we've gone to great extents to try and find this friend. And we haven't had any luck recently. And she's asked other mediums, you know, if they've seen anything or, you know, any messages. But she's just wondering if maybe you've picked something
okay.
up.
Okay. The old friend is slightly older than Sarah Jane. I would say maybe by 3 to 5 years, like older. She would have lived in a very different area to where you're living now. She would have had... I'm feeling a female vibration that's linking, so I don't know whether that's the right one or not. I can't guarantee.
No.
In that case, I'm not getting a communication with whoever it is. All I got was them saying that the person would be older by a couple of years, 3 to 5 years, would have lived in a very different area to where you're living now. Would have had a business interest that would have linked. Like a god.
Maybe somebody else is looking for her.
A bit like a godparent type of feeling.
Okay. Like I said, maybe somebody else is looking for Sarah Jane and she just doesn't realize it yet.
They'll find her.
Picking up. She'll find him?
Yep. She'll find him.
I told her it'll happen when she least expects
yeah,
it.
She'll find him. Or he'll find her. Because it'll get through to him that he's looking.
Oh.
She's looking.
Okay, she's writing another comment here. She can... I can take a man who passed with tummy cancer.
Right.
So you mentioned before that...
a person with a tummy cancer.
You're picking up for someone...
Yeah, really right. Painful.
Is she... Oh, yeah, I know who she's talking about. A friend of hers, I believe, passed with stomach cancer. So maybe that's who you're picking up on.
Could be. It's very difficult.
Any other...
I was going to say...
Oh, I can imagine.
It's spirit will... It's like any medium. We can't dictate to spirit that they come through or who comes through. They'll come through if they want.
Right.
There's normally either a need for a love connection or a connection with family or something like that, but we can't dictate. It's a case of sort of trial and error. We'll stand here. We're here. We're ready to wait. If you want to come through, come through.
Right. It's just the same with us with ghost hunting. I mean, so many places we've gone to that just, you know, we don't pick up a thing. Nothing happens.
Absolutely.
You know, they don't perform on demand,
no.
Do they?
Well, you know, it's not only that. As a medium, not everybody's going to like me when I'm on the earth anyway. So why, if they wouldn't have liked me on the earth, why would they want to talk to me now they're in spirit?
Well, that's a good point.
So if somebody goes...
Do you have... What's it...
I was going to say, if somebody goes to a medium and they don't get the communicator they want, it doesn't necessarily mean that that communicator doesn't want to talk with them. It could just be it's the wrong medium for that communicator.
Oh, I see. So some mediums are more apt to communicate with certain spirits and others with other spirits.
I think it's just personal choice on behalf of the spirit. If they like you, they'll speak to you. If they don't, they won't.
I'm
blonde. Maybe somebody likes speaking to a blonde, but then somebody else wants to speak to a brunette. We all have
So what's in store for your future here? What are your plans?
Possibly start doing more touring, more private readings. Get to a wider audience to let them know about the beauty of spirit and bring closure to people that are looking to know that their loved ones are okay. Also do some more investigations and actually get involved in finding the proof so that we can scientifically prove what's going on. I'd love to have my brain...
That's what we're all...
Sometime. Find out what bit works.
Your brain's
doesn't.
They say mediums' brains, a different part of it, is more active, isn't
it? Yeah, it's supposed to.
The psychic area of your brain.
Well, some of it's got to work, because most of it's just up shop.
Well, I think we aren't doing an invest till I think, after the holidays, but you're definitely more than welcome to come with us on our next one.
I would love to.
Yeah, we'd love to have you along. We're sorry this last one didn't work out. And, you know,
my dad's a stubborn son.
Everything happens. Everything happens for a reason.
It does,
doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. And it was a bit wet there at your one, wasn't it?
Oh God! It was pouring down rain. We had no shelter whatsoever except our car.
Oh, no.
And still, it was a great time. We had a good time, and we'll thank everybody again at Transpennine Paranormal, Louise and Darren and Sonia and everybody that helped us out there and made it what it was. But it didn't stop raining once, I don't think.
It was damp.
And then the 3.5 hour journey home, just soaking wet to the cores. I think that was the worst bit of it.
Your 3.5 hours home, and then I would have had another 2 hours on top.
Oh, I know.
I'd have been asleep.
That would have been terrible.
Okay, move off over the sofa. I want to sleep.
But we'll definitely have to go back there, and preferably in a little bit warmer, drier weather.
You heard of the summer.
It doesn't last too long here, about a week, I think.
On a good week, yes. Yeah, good year. A week long summer, that's not doing bad.
Well, thanks so much, Anne, for being with us tonight. Everybody's really loved you. and how soothing and calming and wonderful you are. And we'll give your website again one more time. It's www.annegermaine, that's annegermaine.co.uk. That's correct?
That's correct, yeah. Thank you.
And people can contact you through your website and see what else you do and what you have coming up.
Absolutely.
And I just want to thank you again so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you both for inviting me and for all of you for inviting me onto the show tonight. It's been really good fun, and I'd love to come back again sometime.
Yeah. Oh, we'd love to have you again. I'm sure the listeners would too.
Thank you.
So thank you everybody else for listening to Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio and tuning in to Para X. Catch us here next Friday night again from 9 to 11 p.m. London time and 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America. And we hope everybody comes back. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week. And bye, Anne.
Broadcasting live from London every Friday from 9 to 11 p.m., 4 to 6 Eastern, the Soul Seekers bring you the latest topics and most influential guests in the paranormal world right here on Para X Radio.